Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Leonard Steinhorn joins us now, CBS correspondent, a professor of public communication at American University, to talk about the president's executive order yesterday. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
Thank you for taking the time with us. What exactly did the president accomplish yesterday legally with the executive order that he signed, and is it as simple as perhaps some people are perceiving it to be?
Well, that's a good question. So legally, basically, he said that he wasn't going to separate families. And that sort of was opening up the steam valve and taking the pressure off of this issue. Of course, he did this after weeks of saying he couldn't do it and that only Congress could do it. So that sort of added a credibility question to this whole policy. But bottom line, he did it. He took the pressure off. He's sort of now saying that the policy of separating children from their parents is no longer in place. But that still raises other questions, because part of our law has been that you can't keep children in detention in perpetuity, sort of forever, permanently. And so if you can't put children in detention forever for a long time, what does that do with the parents who you're not going to be separating from their children? So this is one of sort of the legal issues that may be played out on all of this. You may remember that the president went after the Obama-era policy of catch and release. And that catch and release policy, basically you catch the families, you process them, and then you release them and tell them that they have to appear at a certain point in time.
And you give them a summons, right?
Right, exactly. And the reason that that policy was in place is for precisely the same legal dilemma that the Trump administration faces, which is that our law as interpreted currently basically says you can't keep children in detention permanently. So this hasn't solved the problem, but it's sort of like opening up that steam valve and taking the pressure off.
Let me ask you, if you can, Leonard, to walk us through, and we don't want to get too deep in the weeds here, but about the consent decree, about the Flores settlement, and how legally now the federal government, the Department of Justice, has to go to court in order to keep the families together. And I guess that would be with an eye toward expanding the time that they could all be held in detention.
Yeah, and again, that's basically it. It's expanding the time that they can all be held in detention, because there is sort of this 20-day limit that you can't keep children in custody like this. And so there was a consent decree in the 1990s when these issues were coming up that basically led to this 20-day sort of limit. The question then becomes, is that sort of 20-day limit consent decree written in concrete? And I think this is what the Trump administration is going to have to deal with in the courts and try and gain some extra time to be able to keep people in custody, which is what they want, without separating parents from their children. We also face a whole another legal issue right now, which is how to sort of bring back together, to reunite those 2,300 children that have been separated over the past couple months on this zero tolerance policy that the Trump administration put in place. And you can rest assured that that's going to court, with any number of lawsuits being involved by public interest groups, basically trying to sort of push the Trump administration on this policy as well. So this is going to end up in the courts, but it's also going to end up in Congress, and there's a lot of disagreement in Congress on these issues. We've been unable to put together a comprehensive immigration bill. George W. Bush couldn't do it. Barack Obama couldn't do it. It's not altogether clear that Donald Trump is going to do it. The Republican Party itself is very divided on this, and that, let alone, doesn't talk about their disagreements with the Democrats. The rhetoric is heated. And so, you know, we are in a real political mess in this country, dealing with one of the issues that has made America a very strong country over the centuries, which is immigration and how we deal with it.
Would it be inaccurate to say, Leonard, that this is one of the bigger issues facing the country, and instead of, for example, in a relationship, a big giant thing, instead of sitting down calmly and rationally and discussing a huge thing, instead of logic, it has now become an emotional slash political argument, which I don't think is going to help trying to establish a policy?
Well, I think that's right on the mark. And I think part of it goes to how we frame the issue or how we look at it. You know, the president has been framing it as, you know, these are criminals, or rapists, if you remember his campaign speech, or the MS-13 or people who are going to infest the country. If you frame it that way, it's not surprising that people feel that our country is under siege and under assault. But if you frame it in a completely different way, which I think this past week helped to sort of enhance, as people sort of coming to this country the way that they've always come to this country, to seek opportunity, to escape oppression, to escape danger, to escape violence, and wanting to build a better life, and to become Americans or to contribute to the American dream or to achieve it themselves, that takes on a different framing. So it really depends on how, you know, how people see this. If you see immigration as a positive good, as something that many of your listeners and my own family dealt with years ago, and even though we may have been framed 120 years ago as criminals or undesirable, we helped build this country. If you frame it that way, that takes it on a whole different course. But if you frame it as, we don't want these people, they're dangerous, they're potentially hurting our country, they're stealing jobs, that takes it down a completely different path. But if we sort of ratchet down the rhetoric on all of this and try, as you say, to sort of deal with the facts, deal with it rationally, try to come to terms with who we want to be as a country and how we want to let people in as a country that has been a nation of nations, a nation of immigrants, that could potentially get us to a better place. But the minute you sort of politicize everything involved with immigration, you have problems.
Thank you, Leonard. I appreciate your time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hope we get to talk to you again. Leonard Steinhorn, CBS correspondent, professor of public communication at American University.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.